All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back here on the fourth official podcast. Episode number
12?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Something
Kyle
like that.
Kyle Foley's back.
Yeah.
He's in the studio after not being here last week. And now Gavin Eubank, he's not here because Publix reasons.
I can't say anything bad about Publix because I really like Publix.
Everybody likes Publix.
Specifically Publix subs. Chicken tender Publix subs.
Chicken tender Publix subs are
quite
great.
Possibly the greatest food ever invented.
I could agree with that.
Ranch or blue cheese?
Blue cheese is evil.
Are you asking for like what I like on the sandwich?
Yeah.
Honey mustard.
Outside the box.
No, I'd go with honey mustard.
It typically, I thought it normally came with honey mustard.
Ranch.
Yeah.
No, I get honey mustard.
I would eat.
Or ketchup. Nobody wants ketchup.
Mm, ketchup.
So we could talk about sandwich condiments all day, but we're here to talk about soccer. So let's talk about soccer. So, if you don't know, I'm Austin David. Brent Petkus is here. Kyle Foley is here. As we said before, Gavin Eubank is not, for whatever
reason. Boo!
Yeah.
That's what we did last week for you, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I missed you guys, too.
We kept talking about how you were having tea with Donald Trump.
God damn it.
No politics.
Politics.
That was you!
No politics.
I did not say a single
thing politics.
No.
Kyle?
Things you won't
down.
Hear on this podcast. Super Tuesday Breakdown with Kyle Foley.
I will be doing that on my own show.
The Kyle Foley Experience.
Wow, the Kyle Foley Experience. Now he's pubbing his own show. That's great.
Again, you guys named my show. I didn't. I was not naming it.
Interesting. Anyway.
You said, I'll be doing it on my show.
Right, but you named it. I wasn't going to name it.
Well, it's just...
He doesn't want the pub from our few people who listen to this.
I want the damn Canadians finding
they're
it.
They're gonna go on your show and ask you questions about soccer.
That's fine. I'll talk about soccer. You guys make me talk about politics here and then yell no politics.
No politics, please.
All right, let's talk about soccer. Orlando City Media Day was this past Friday, as was the final preseason game for the Lions. They won by a lot in a fairly convincing fashion, I guess you could say. The media day compared to last year was kind of, well, it really was meh.
Let the sophomore slump begin.
Here's the thing, and I'll explain the differences because I'm going to go into it a little bit later with our What's Your Beef segment. It was just kind of, you know, they had a practice, then they went to a hotel, they had a press conference with Phil Rollins, Adrian Heath, and Kaká. And then they broke out into different interviews with different people. And that's kind of what they did last year, but just imagine a step down from like food wise and swag wise.
They didn't have good food.
Was it Publix?
I'm going to get into it later.
Obviously, okay. It wasn't Publix because it wasn't good food.
It may have been, but it didn't taste like Publix.
We call that a tease in the industry. He is teasing a future segment.
You know, people just saw that.
I know.
Oh man, this is. I don't even.
Let's continue.
Yep.
So the Bahia game.
Yep.
You guys didn't watch it.
I know. I caught. I was watching the live tweets and I caught some highlights, but I didn't actually watch the game.
Fair. Saw the highlights though. 6-1 was the final. Seb Hines, the defender. Just repeat that. The defender. Scored 4 goals.
Seb Hines, the defender. Let's repeat that. Seb Hines is a defender.
He is a defender. He scored 4 goals on set pieces. Kaká had 4 assists.
Right.
Pedro Ribeiro had a goal, and Darwin Serén had a goal. So all the defensive players, defensive midfielders, and a center back scored 6 goals. What does that say about Orlando City right now?
Here's one thing it says. We played a crappy team in a friendly. So it doesn't matter too much. However, it does mean that we have possibly found the solution to our set piece problem, as was written out on the mainland, put out today, an article talking about that actually, about how we may have found the solution to the set piece woes that we're dealing with, which could be really huge for the team. I don't know how much credit we can take on that because it was a friendly against a team that's not even any good in Brazil. So it's a little weird.
They got a decent following.
Yeah, but I'm...
They have a robot.
They do. Did you see the pictures of the robot?
Yes, it was a very weird robot.
Well, I don't understand why a robot, though.
In Brazil.
So
like, I just I think it was good that we did that. Well, I think it's good for confidence going into the game coming up now against Real Salt Lake, and I think it shows that we've improved on our set pieces. But let's see if we can do it against some real competition.
The goals that we did score, a couple goalkeeper errors. I mean, balls that were within the six that you probably should get to. I mean,
there was like hardly any marking too.
Yeah, defending was a little bit shocking.
But hey. Yeah. Real Salt Lake is the exact same, aren't they?
Yes, they did not look very good in the Champions League game either. So that was... They also gave up two set pieces.
Did they get worse between last season and this?
Did they get worse?
They signed... So here's the thing. They only signed that one striker guy.
Yes.
What's his name again? It's a really complicated name. He played for Real Salt Lake a while ago. Movsisian.
Yes.
Movsisian.
Movsisian.
So... Going back to the last preseason game, this is why you play our Sisters of the Poor, the last preseason game before you play, you know, the real teams, because you want that confidence. I'm not concerned about the striking force up top, because goals come once the team gels better. So set pieces is where you want to get goals early in the season and end of the season, because that's where it's most critical. In the mid part of your season, that's where you're going to get your striker and your goals from Laren, Kaká, although I don't see Kaká, Molino, I don't see Kaká scoring as many goals unless they're set pieces or penalty kicks.
About that, he set a goal for himself to score at least 14 or 15 goals on media day, he said. I want to score this many.
I will tell you right now, he will be under that. I don't have faith in that. And I've written this in pretty much every article that I can write. He always takes his penalty kicks to the left. Shooters left, goalkeepers right. Just dive that way.
You know, this
every
was,
single time.
This was a conversation at Media Day, actually. A bunch of the other journalists or guys, the blogs who cover Orlando City, we had a conversation about Kaká's penalty kicks. And it started with just me and Danny Morales talking about Kaká and penalty kicks. And then he called over some friends and he's like, so if I told you Kaká's going to take a penalty kick, where would he go? He'd go to the left. Every single person said that. We talked about to at least a dozen people. And I just found that hilarious how everyone's like, yeah, this is the issue. So, something to note coming up if Kaká does take penalties this year, which he probably will.
But
when he misses the first one or it gets saved, that's when the conversation really can start heating up. But until he misses or one gets saved, yeah, it's just going to keep going.
We should maybe write a think piece on maybe another player should take penalty kicks. I don't know. We could. It's almost like that's been written before, and it was solid points.
Let's not revisit that again.
The captain takes the penalty kicks. The only time the captain does not take the penalty kick is the person who gets fouled, picks up the ball, and wants to take it themselves. Soccer etiquette 101.
Yeah, but I mean, the captain can... there's ways.
This isn't like...
Kaká gets respect.
Yeah, this isn't youth league.
Why? I don't think he's that great for our team, but that's a conversation for later.
That's like a whole show for later.
That's a hot take.
I've given it before.
This isn't youth soccer where the goalkeeper comes up and takes the penalty kicks because he's the best one on the team.
Well, you know that guy from Brazil. Yeah. What was his name?
Played for Sao Paulo. The Paraguay goalkeeper, Jose Chavavert. He used to take the free kicks. That was back in 98. But, you know.
What was his name? Rogério Ceni.
Yeah, takes the penalty kicks. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, he retired now, but he scored 137 goals in his career.
Was he the captain?
He was.
Oh,
look at there. Soccer etiquette 101.
Damn it.
He also took free kicks. He came up from goal to take free kicks. Scored 137 goals since 1992.
How long was his career?
92 to 2015.
Wow.
He's 43 now. He played against Orlando the other year when they were here.
This week in glory days with Brent, I used to take penalty kicks and free kicks for my high school team.
How many did
back
you
in
make?
The day?
Back in the day. How many?
How often did you make them?
Penalty kicks, every single one. Did not miss one.
It was high school. I don't care.
High school? Yeah.
How many did you make against Akron?
Zero. Thank you for bringing that up.
How many goals did you allow when you played Akron?
This week in making fun of Brent and Akron.
Hey, Brent. How many times did Akron score on you in your career?
Three, four.
He's replaying all of the goals in his head.
Four
goals.
Four.
That was it.
Yeah.
How many times did you play them as a starter?
once.
And they scored four goals on you.
They were the number one team in the country.
They scored four goals on you in one day.
Yeah, in one half, too.
All right, Tim Allen.
Second half. Whoa!
Back to the show.
Jesus.
Shots fired.
All right. So, in terms of just the going back to the Bahia game here, does it actually give you hope for the start of the season that Orlando City is going to come out of the gates playing well?
Oh, yeah.
And scoring?
But they did last year, too.
They
didn't come out scoring, but they came out playing well and aggressive.
Yeah, they didn't get their first goal, like official goal, until like the third or fourth game. Because if you remember, that Kaká free kick, I don't really consider a goal because it took a deflection.
You don't consider it a goal, but it's considered a goal.
I know. But like their first real goal, like in the run of play, didn't come until the Portland game, I don't think, when Kyle Aaron scored. If I'm not mistaken.
You might be right.
He's right.
And that was off his chest. So the Houston game, which was the second game, that was ruled an own goal.
Yes.
Yeah, that one made sense because
Pedro Ribeiro had all that hustle and effort to get.
But Tyler,
unfortunately,
Tyler Derrick put it in.
Yeah, unfortunately, technically, it was an own goal, but it was. I mean,
and the first
it was because
goal,
of the effort of
first game was a set piece goal. Like I think the first goal will come off a set piece.
Really.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. I do, too.
So here's how the beginning of the season went for Orlando City. The 1-1 draw with New York City. Mm-hmm. And they won against Houston on that own goal. Lost against the Whitecaps in the, like, 90-somethingth minute. Then they went to Montreal. That was their first official goal when Pedro Ribeiro scored.
On the combination play.
Yep. Right. And then Kaká scored. That ended up 2-2. Then they played DC United at home and lost in the 90-somethingth minute. And then they finally got their first goal away from home. Well, actually, no, because the Montreal game was their first goal away from home. That they won 2-0 in Portland for their first real win because the Houston Dynamo was an own goal. So, also, in that Portland Timbers game, Kaká had his penalty kick saved. What? But then it was called back because they went offsides.
Right, and then he put it right up the middle.
Yep.
Which is smart, by the way. Totally would agree with that.
So that's the way that the Orlando City, the first 5-6 games, they went 2-2 in their first 6 games. Do you see Orlando City doing better than that in their first 6 games this year?
Yes.
Yeah, but I think we have a little easier start to the schedule this year, too.
Eh?
A little.
So here's the thing.
We start with RSL.
Yeah, so here's how it goes. Real Salt Lake, home. Chicago Fire, home. Okay. New York City, in New York City.
Okay.
Portland, home. Against, again, the champions. Philly, at Philly. And New England, at home.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Philly, 4 of those 6 games are at home.
And they're against... Well, I mean, Portland's a good team, but it's at home, so it kind of helps counteract that.
Okay.
But Chicago, RSL, and Philly.
Chicago is a lot better than they were last year.
They're still
year.
Chicago.
Home games.
They used to be good, remember?
You say like a home game is like the Citrus Bowl is a fortress. Like, Orlando was 7-5-5 at home last year.
I know. What was our away right? The English, I speak it. What was the away record last
5-9
year?
5-9-3.
So it wasn't that much better, but it's
we were the third worst team to play at home. Only behind New York, NYCFC, and the lowly Colorado Rapids.
To be fair, if those two like 90-somethingth minute goals wouldn't have happened, they would have been a lot better.
They shouldn't happen at home.
Right.
With that, they shouldn't happen at home. That, but they did.
That was when Donovan Ricketts was playing. He's
Ricketts.
Pretty much retired now.
Old man Ricketts.
I trust Joe Bendick more than I trust Donovan Ricketts.
There are a lot of factors that are different.
Oh, come on. Would you not trust Donovan Ricketts? Or would you not trust Joe Bendick more than Donovan Ricketts? At this point in their careers, respectively?
I'm thinking.
What's there to think about?
Let me break down why Joe Bendick scares me.
Because
he
played
does
in Canada.
Not command the box like Ricketts did on crosses.
Who gives a damn if you can command if you don't stop goals?
About that.
That's my worry.
At practices,
yeah.
They worked a lot on set pieces.
Yeah.
He did pretty decent. I have video evidence of him commanding the box.
In matches, he has difficulty handing crosses on the run of play. Ball served in. Now,
I've seen him do fairly well. But again,
it worries me.
Well, that's when the defense comes into play. When you actually have to like trust them to do stuff, you know, right, what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, Ricketts also, he had the frame.
But he was old.
He was old, and there was sometimes
Bendik
like
Bendik is big.
He's upper body big.
Yes.
Yes. Ricketts is gangly. He was kind of like a, I don't know.
He couldn't move.
Ricketts suffered from poor decision making and
inability to do anything moving-wise.
He was an excellent shot stopper. Above average MLS shot stopper.
Yes. Well, because he made a career being that.
Correct.
And as a goalkeeper, the older you get doesn't necessarily mean the poorer you get at shot stopping.
Right.
It's just being able to move quicker is a lot harder if you're 37 years old and your knees are giving out.
I would agree with that. And I think Tally Hall was an above average shot stopper and an above average dealing with crosses.
Right, but he has knee problems.
He has knee problems. Fine.
Which is why a team has not picked him up yet.
And I have no problem with that. They're waiting and seeing that he might be a summer pickup if he can get on someone's roster.
Orlando City, if Joe Bendik's not very good, Tally Hall, if he proves himself again, would they go back to him?
No.
Because Carniero was the one who officially let him go.
No, they won't go back. They'll go young.
Earl.
They'll go Earl, and if he doesn't work out,
they got Mason.
They might bring Mason in.
17 years old.
I wouldn't be shocked if they went down the depth chart before they brought in anyone new.
Yeah.
I also wouldn't
they
be
also
shocked.
They also have the OCB keepers.
I also wouldn't be entirely shocked if they did end up bringing back Tally Hall at some point. It would be, let me be, I don't think it's going to happen. But yeah, it would not be, if it happened, I wouldn't be as shocked as if they brought in somebody else.
Well, so here's the, like, when they got rid of Ian Fuller, the reason that they didn't bring him back as soon as Carniero left is because it would have looked bad. Just like bringing Tally Hall back after they let him go would look bad. Because here's the thing, when Carniero fired Ian Fuller, that wasn't necessarily Adrian Heath's decision, because at that point, Carniero was trying to fire Adrian Heath as well. But then the team is like, yeah, let's get rid of Carniero. So they did, and Adrian Heath kept his job. But Ian Fuller was a byproduct of that whole situation. And as a result of that, with him and the academy coaches, they all went on to different opportunities because, again, it would look bad if they like, oh, well, it was all Carniero's fault. Let's bring them back.
Yeah. No, I know. But that's the thing. It looks bad, but there are also people that I can assume Adrian Heath wanted here and Phil Rollins wanted here.
Sure.
Nobody wanted to get rid of Ian Fuller, certainly. Nobody wanted to get rid of Tally Hall, even though it was a risk with the knee surgery. You know how much the city of Orlando and the respect of the fans means to Adrian Heath and to Phil Rollins.
Here's the thing.
So you know that went through their head, and it went through, well, we're going to lose. I mean, the fans are pissed about this, and you know that that hurt Heath and Rollins.
Sure.
So they know that if they were to bring one of those guys back at some point, which it would be Fuller before it would be
Tally Hall,
because Fuller, you know, he's a coach.
Right. Here's the thing, though. Bobby Murphy, the guy they brought in to replace Ian Fuller, I think is a better coach. Just from seeing him in practice, the way he's more involved tactically than Ian Fuller ever was.
No, I agree.
You haven't seen
Shut him up! Damn it, I'm agreeing on your opinion. No, I'm agreeing on the fact that I don't think Ian Fuller was that involved.
Here's the thing. Ian Fuller, as a former player, coming off being a former player with Orlando City, he was very passionate.
Right.
And he demanded the players' respect. And that was what made him a good coach. But Bobby Murphy, the guy they brought in, he has one of the highest level coaching licenses. I think USSFA.
That's the highest license you can get in the current program. They're going to a new program, but yes, that's the highest.
So he has the highest coaching license you can have.
So Bobby Murphy for U.S. Men's National Team?
No,
he has the ability to have the right license to do it, but he won't be.
He won't be. He's also the technical coordinator for the MLS Academy. Because he has his youth license, and he's worked with USSF Soccer Federation national staff. He's worked as a national team instructor, all that stuff. So he has a lot of experience technically coming into Orlando. And you know, Paul Tenorio's talked about this again before he left. Pour one out for Paul Tenorio, who's going to Chicago.
Rest in peace.
He talked, you know, we had a good conversation about Bobby Murphy, and the steps that he's taken with some of the guys who didn't impress last year, like Carlos Rivas, he's really helped him understand tactically what he's supposed to be doing on the field. Because as a young player, he's not necessarily going to understand things as soon as he gets there. And that's why it took him a lot of time to try and understand how everything worked in that U.S. style of play, or Adrian Heath style of play in general. But within a few weeks of Bobby Murphy working with him and talking to him and saying, hey, look, just think about it this way, etc., there was a huge improvement in terms of the runs that Rivas was making in practice. And just, I'm excited for him more than some of the players, to be honest, they brought in. And from what I saw from the Bahia game, they're taking the right steps in order to be a more dynamic club on the offensive and defensive end. Still work on the defensive end, though.
I think it's moving on from the glory days from USL. And slowly, I mean, that was why Fuller was around. Not that he wasn't good, but I mean,
he Adrian Heath trusted him.
Right. He was part of the USL foundation, and I think now it's having to understand keeping the old but still mixing in new. And sometimes it means you got to cut ties, but it betters the team.
Right. So now let's move on to the Real Salt Lake game. We talked a tiny bit about this a minute ago. Real Salt Lake's not very good this year. Brent, you watched the Champions League game and a few other ones from last year. What do you have to say about RSL?
So RSL is a team that isn't going to try to beat you. They are going to try to force you to make mistakes and take advantage of those. So they are going to sit back and defend. They're going to be in a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3. You're going to have Kyle Beckerman sitting in the defensive mid position, and pretty much just sweep away balls that Kaká will try to pin through either the three forwards that Orlando ran or back to their outside mids and one lone striker. So I'm going to guess they're going to sit back, let Orlando bring the play to them for the first 20, 25 minutes, and then look for opportunities to go forward. I think they're going to rely heavily on Nick Raimondo in goal. Obviously, he's the MLS veteran. He's a good shot stopper, great at penalty kicks. Where they had trouble in the last game is set pieces. Two set pieces goals in the Champions League game. Even last year, they gave up four or five pretty brutal set piece plays where defending just, they get lost in the box. And it's going to be an atmosphere that will be very hostile to them. They're not used to that. Portland, Seattle, they played them, but they've never come to Orlando yet, so this is their first time coming to Orlando City and playing them as an MLS team. And it's just, they're very methodical and very boring to watch. However, even the last year when we played Orlando to a 1-1 tie, Tally Hall had a great game. Kaká was ejected shortly in the 40, I think in the first, late in the first half, for allegedly stomping on a player. Video evidence shows otherwise, but even then they weren't very good in the attack. They weren't very dangerous. They kind of sat back, and the game still ended up as a 1-1 tie. So, not giving away too much, because I'm sure we'll pick this game later on, I have a good feeling about a positive outcome. I think they can get that. Orlando City can get the points they need and get out of their opener. I think Real Salt Lake is legitimately just looking for a point and getting out of town as quickly as possible. That's my breakdown. Everyone's nodding. That's good.
Yeah, no,
we agree.
There's the nodding. Yeah, I guess the D license works.
So, we'll get back to that in a bit at the end of the show. We'll pick that game as well as other MLS game. But we talked about this last week, the whole elections for the FIFA president. They finally happened. There's a new president, and it's not one of the supposed corrupt ones. Gianni Infantino. Infantino. He's
I'm really
Italian.
Pissed it wasn't Tokyo Sex Whale.
That's not his name. That is not his name. Not what? His name.
What's his name?
It's not that. I can tell you that much.
What's his name?
It's not Sex Whale.
Tokyo Sex Whale.
It actually is.
That's his
He's
name.
He's the South African Minister of Human Settlement.
Let me see his picture.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, he actually stepped down. He kind of suspended his campaign. I always love those words. Suspended their campaign.
Just how do you suspend your campaign? It's like, no, I'm gonna put it right here. I'm gonna come back to it later.
Yeah, and minutes before the vote, hey, I'm suspending my campaign because
he withdrew from the election.
Yeah, because basically I knew I was gonna get 3 votes, and you know whatever.
Dude, I'd vote for a guy with the last name Sex Whale any day. Yeah.
I'm looking at some of the. I just typed him in, and on the like Wikipedia thing, it has his siblings.
Oh my gosh, what are they?
Martha Batha Sex Whale.
Martha.
This is terrible. Johnny Sex Whale. It's not Sex Whale, it's Sex Wale.
Martha Batha Sex Wale.
Yes.
Glorious.
McGurley Kopaye, who used to be Sex Wale. and, oh my god, LaSesha Sex Wale? He went to Orlando West High School.
Not in Orlando, Florida, I assume.
Orlando, South Africa?
Yes.
Yes.
You know, where the Orlando Pirates play.
You don't understand how much that messed with me when I was like 8 years old and learned there was an Orlando Pirates team and realized it wasn't in Orlando.
Yeah.
I learned there was another Orlando and I flipped out.
Oh, his parents, by the way, are Godleave Sexwale and Frank Sexwale.
Sound like a really dumb question.
Mm-mm.
But when you started with the first name, I was sure that was the father's name. So when you then went to Frank,
no,
I had no clue what was going on there.
Godleave Sexwale is his mother.
Yeah, I got that.
Good.
So, talk about in the voting, he steps out. We're moving on off of this, you know.
Sex Whale steps out.
So the first votes come in, and the United States support Prince Ali.
And Al-Hussein.
Yes. And
Prince Ali from Aladdin.
I made that joke last week, if you...
Yeah, well, I didn't listen, because I hate you.
Yeah, so obviously USA knows, all right, this guy can't win.
Right.
And Infantino had a lot of votes that people didn't think he was going to get. So it was up to him and, I believe, the Sheik. And what if you're, you know, the United States, you have the Caribbean. I think Jamaica voted with us. We kind of voted in a block, CONCACAF. And there was a Sunil, the president of USSF.
How do you pronounce his last name? Gulati?
Gulati, yep. He was working that room and went up to a couple people, said, hey, we need to throw our support somewhere because we need the election to go our way. And that's, I honestly think the United States took their votes from Prince Ali and then put them to Infantino and said, all right, the lesser of two evils, European, UEFA, you know, a UEFA guy, maybe he'll have a little bit more support and bring the World Cup to the United States. Because I think ultimately that's the United States' goal, is to get another World Cup. And that, I think, resonates with
UEFA. Well, that whole 2022 thing in Qatar.
It's happening.
It's going to happen. You know what's funny? Sepp Blatter.
Yep.
His suspension got brought back 2 years, so instead of being suspended 8 years, he suspended 6 years.
Ooh.
Guess what? 6 years from now, it's 2022, when the World Cup's going to happen in Qatar.
Well, and he's still appealing his...
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean...
But here's the funny thing about the next World Cup bid. I don't think USA will get it. I think England will get it, and then the US will get the one after that.
Which I'm fine with.
Which is...
It's just, you know, we're going to be in our 30s and you're going to be in your 40s.
God. I still go. Would Orlando get a game? Probably.
Yeah.
Honestly, at that point, yeah.
I went to the original game when they had them in Orlando in 1993. I was 2 years old and my dad took me to the Netherlands game. Ooh. And I sat with the Netherlands fans and I have a picture of me with Netherlands stuff on. So.
I think I was seven or eight, and I went to the Pontiac Silverdome, the first ever World Cup game played in a dome, and I watched the United States and Switzerland play to a 1-1 tie.
Woo.
I was not alive.
Not even conceived.
And so, therefore, my parents had actually just met. So...
It's also the year that OJ, the OJ chase. See, interesting fact.
Wasn't
I didn't.
The day of the OJ chase was also the day the United States beat Colombia 2-1.
But no one remembers that because of the OJ chase.
Because of the OJ chase. Arguably the greatest victory in United States soccer history.
And nobody remembers it because of OJ.
Damn OJ. So this guy, Infantino, comes from Switzerland, which means that the FIFA headquarters are probably going to stay in Switzerland. There was some talk about him moving, or depending on who got elected, it being moved or whatever. Prince Ali had won, it would have moved somewhere else. That's what they were saying.
It's not going to move unless there's some bombshell discovery that they murdered workers and buried them under the stadiums.
This escalated.
Yeah, that really did.
That's the kind of thing that has to happen for them to move the World Cup at this point.
They have slavery.
I thought we were talking the headquarters, the FIFA headquarters.
Yeah, we were talking the FIFA headquarters. Jumped to the stadium and
you're off topic. Listen.
Shut up.
So I would agree. The other way they would not want the FIFA headquarters to be in Switzerland is that they weren't able to prosecute using the Switzerland government. Like, that's the only way. But I think it's fine where it is. It's no big deal.
Yeah, no.
I say move it to New York.
No. It'll never
be. We will have a field day with corruption.
That would be hilarious.
You wouldn't have to extradite anyone.
So back to this Infantino guy. The UEFA president. Was he the UEFA president?
No, he was the...
General Secretary.
Yes. He was essentially running all the day-to-day operations.
Correct.
He was,
yeah. He speaks Italian, French, German, English, Spanish, Portuguese, and Arabic.
And he used, I think, 4 of their languages in his pre-speech for the election.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was impressive.
That is impressive.
Well, now all the Portuguese fans out there will be very happy that the FIFA president speaks Portuguese.
Moving on.
So new president. Now we'll move on to our final segment here. Not final. Our big segment. Around MLS.
Yay!
I wish we had theme music for this, but we don't.
We need to get some.
We'll get there.
Okay.
One day.
Yay.
So this is kind of reviewing from last week. Amobi Okwu got dropped from Sporting Kansas City. And
then what did he do?
He deleted all of his tweets.
Oh no!
Except for one, a quote from Tony Robbins, the self-motivating speaker. Success is buried on the other side of rejection. That is the only tweet that's left on Amobi Okwu's timeline.
This makes me feel like he got dumped and cut on the same day.
I mean, getting cut is pretty much like getting dumped.
I know.
Because he doesn't have a team.
I feel like he got double whammied.
Where's the Price is Right horn right now? It's like...
No, I feel bad for the guy. He was really... I got to meet him after one of the games. He was walking by. Seems like a really good guy.
Basically, I've been waiting to use that soundbite for a long time, and
yeah, it was just it's a shame that you gotta get. He's a decent player. Hopefully, he finds a team. It will not be Orlando.
It might be overseas. Might be Benfica.
Shut up!
Oh my gosh,
recruiting him at one point. Just to be fair,
I think it's an attitude thing.
He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy, but I feel like when he was in Orlando, it was just like there was always conflict between him and Heath.
I think it was just him playing bad. Oh. I don't think it was necessarily confrontation. I think the confrontation arose from him playing bad. That's my opinion.
He did play bad.
So moving on, Tim Howard. We talked about this last week. Like, you'd have to be insane to be paying, what was it, $4 million to sign Tim Howard to the Colorado Rapids. And of course, we were saying, that's never going to happen. And then, what does Colorado do?
They
make it happen.
Kyle, you never got to chime in about this because we chimed in about it last week. Tim Howard, Colorado, DP player.
The most expensive player, like, probably ever.
I'm probably the unpopular opinion here, but I like it. I don't like the money, necessarily.
Well, you have to factor in the money, though. That's the thing.
What do you like it?
So you don't like the money.
I like Tim Howard coming back to the States for two reasons. One, he was done at Everton. He lost his spot. So I would rather him go out with a bang, doing well for a few years in MLS, where we know he's going to be incredible. Because he's still a great goalkeeper for MLS standards. He's still great in MLS standards because he's good. And by good, I mean like he's
serviceable,
average.
You're not very liberal, but you're very liberal with the word great.
I am very liberal with the word.
So when Tim Howard comes over to the U.S., that means the only Premier League goalkeeper that will be of U.S. Heritage will be everybody's favorite. Come on, plays for Aston Villa.
Brad Guzan. Yeah.
I was purposely not answering that.
Brad Guzan.
Mr. Clean.
Yeah, the worst keeper statistically right now.
His back four is horrible. Let's get that. Let's defend him a little bit.
So let's start comparing him and Joe Bendik then, right? Because Toronto's back four was bad.
Yet they made the playoffs. Despite him.
So that's hope for Orlando City, right? Let's say it is.
See, Tim Howard, I just... game... Could he make a game-saving save and steal a game? Absolutely.
He did a lot of that for the U.S.
Yes.
But just think... this is such a Colorado thing to do. They signed their first DP for this year was some guy from Albania named Shkelzen Gashi from FC Basel. Anyone know who that is? No, exactly. But they spent DP money on him.
So here's the question. Looking at their goalkeepers, I'm guessing Zach McMath will probably start. That's a
Zach
guess.
McMath is not bad.
What if he just plays lights out? He plays lights out. Like, he is, and Colorado is in position to be in the playoffs.
That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, but what, I'm doing the hypothetical here. Hypothetically, do you bring in Howard at that point? Because the guy's got the job on lockdown?
No.
No. So now you have to go back on it. That's so Colorado. It's going to happen. They're going to surprise in the
they're
West.
Gonna try, no, they're going to try and trade his rights.
Gam for Tam.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a bit. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, Tim Howard possibly coming to the U.S. We'll see in another few weeks, most likely. Now, speaking of other teams in the MLS, CONCACAF Champions League, that was last week, this time last week, more or less. Querétaro FC played DC United, Seattle played Club America, Tigres played Real Salt Lake, and LA Galaxy played Santos Laguna. And basically, the MLS teams laid neck. 2-0 was the Querétaro final score against DC. Seattle was up 2. They scored 2 goals at home, but then Club America scored 2 as well. So that kind of ruined it for Seattle because 2 away goals beats just 2 regular goals. Tigres scored 2 set pieces against Real Salt Lake, which makes Orlando City fans kind of happy. And LA Galaxy and Santos Laguna played to a 0-0 draw in LA. So every single MLS team is basically on the back foot. Yay.
Yeah, that doesn't bode well for the MLS, but we kind of knew that going in.
I think we said last week. It's like a preseason game that actually matters. Like, it's like playing a... what's that championship game that the English play at Wembley right before the season starts?
The Community Shield?
Yes. It's like playing that. Like a meaningful game for a trophy in preseason. Like, it looks terrible. But one of the teams is going to win.
And the fans will love it if they win.
Mm-hmm. So. Anyway. Other stuff.
I do think, though, really quick with that, I think Seattle has the best shot.
Yeah.
Because all they have to do is win the game.
So does LA. I think LA can score one way goal.
Oh, yeah, no, I think LA can absolutely play.
LA scores one goal, and the other team's got to score 2 at that point.
At this point, we'll get to the MLS teams, but, like, LA is stacked.
Yep.
So, speaking of rosters here, the roster compliance for MLS is March 1st, right?
Yep.
So, what does that mean?
I believe they have to be at a certain number.
Yeah, hold on. Let's check the rules here.
And they're MLS rules, so it'll take us a few moments to decipher how it goes.
So the team has to be comprised of 28 players. All 28 players, they have to be eligible. They have to have the international roster spots figured out. Have to have the budget figured out. Maximum budget cannot be $436,000 and 250 cents. Or $436,250. 250 cents would not make sense. See what it did there?
I did.
Yeah. there's different... Wow, there's a lot of roster compliances that the teams have to meet. This is like 7 pages of rules on what teams have to have. I'm not going to read all of that. It's just something we're going to mention. Feel free to read about it on your own if you really want to, but... Just wait until after it happens and then see what happened as a result.
Anyone getting cut on Orlando City?
Well, they had their 2 late draft picks already cut.
Which
isn't a surprise. Anthony Matarazzo and Tobana Uzo. Like, Michael tried to ask Phil Rollins about them at Media Day. And he's like, what about the 2 other draft picks? And then Phil just completely ignored the question and talked about the 2 actual draft picks that they signed. And did not mention the other 2 draft picks. So, needless to say, they're not going to be in Orlando.
I don't think that's a shocker.
No, not at all.
Anyone.
Not at all. So, Minnesota United got a new stadium. Well, they got the designs for their new stadium. It looks really nice. Right? Did you guys see it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
It's all right.
Here, I will send you...
So... The stadium, like, so here's the thing about the stadium. Well, first of all, we don't even know if they're going to be called the Minnesota United, so.
They're going to be the Loons.
Oh, God, please no.
Go loony for the Loons, you guys.
God, it's the worst.
It's going to be a thing.
Look at that. He's not looking at it. He's like, oh. Yeah. So, I mean, it looks pretty cool.
20,000 seat stadium designed by Populous, which is the team, the people that designed the Kansas City Stadium. The Orlando Stadium, basically every other MLS stadium that's come about in the last few years, they've designed it.
It's interesting because it's almost like a semi-roof.
To be fair, it's Minnesota.
You're going to need it.
You're going to need like an enclosed possible roof for snow, at least for fans.
Yeah, and
just let the players fend for themselves.
Yeah, the roof design's pretty cool. Like if it's a retractable roof that kind of slides down, it's kind of weird because it's at an angle. Like... To describe it to you guys, it's kind of like half of a house. Like if a house makes at one point, it kind of is just one side of a house. So like the roof would kind of slide down, which is interesting because, man, your supporter section obviously is going to go behind the goal. But the picture kind of shows 2 decks and no upper one. Maybe an upper deck for busier games. But
it's an interesting design.
It's different. But I think that's good. I mean, you don't want cookie-cutter stadiums.
Nope. It's round.
Yeah. I mean, Clubes Cruz Stadium's kind of cookie-cutter, so... I mean, it's just kind of like a round mini Rose Bowl.
Okay. So, moving on from the Minnesota United Stadium, we're going to talk about the most MLS trade ever.
Such MLS.
I mean, it literally was the most MLS trade ever. The Colorado Rapids were involved, so that makes it 10 times better. But long and short of it, Colorado Rapids acquired an international slot in a trade with the San Jose Earthquakes. That's just the tip of the iceberg, though. They also traded targeted allocation money, or TAM, from San Jose in exchange for general allocation money, or GAM. So international slot and TAM for GAM.
It was an international TAM-GAM.
TAM for GAM.
It was an international TAM for GAM.
That's the most MLS trade ever.
I can't wait to see how they top that.
They're going to give LA Galaxy their 11th designated player slot.
Yeah, and they'll be first on the pick for any U.S. soccer player that wants to come back.
Tim Howard?
They're also going to be renamed the MLS Galaxy. Or the L.A. Garbers. I haven't decided which one I think is more likely.
You know what they could do? They just... Instead of being based in L.A., they could just be like the U.S. men's national team and play all their home games all over the country.
wouldn't be in. They'll basically become the MLS All-Star team.
Yeah.
Yeah, be the MLS Galaxy. There you go. Problem solved. All right. That's our around the MLS kind of wrap up. Let's move on to some weird news here.
Yeah.
First off, Louis Van Gaal. He made a very a spectacle of himself at the game against Arsenal. He feigned himself getting hit, and he fell over, taking a dive. And again, me talking about it, it doesn't do it justice. You got to go look at it yourself.
And this is like the internet going nuts about all the different memes and GIFs about it.
It's great. The greatest one is the Jose Mourinho shooting him, the sniper GIF that's out there. That's probably the best.
I can't disagree with you there.
The internet comes up with some interesting stuff for sure. It's always fun to see where they go with different social things going around in the world. All right, Brent, what do you got?
Mine comes from England as well, from that same match, Arsenal and Man United. Arsenal 1-3-2. So a fan...
You mean Man United 1-3-2.
I'm sorry, Man United 1-3-2. Yeah. This guy basically wants to sell you his ripped up Arsenal jersey. So Arsenal's new... He's trying to sell it on Facebook. Arsenal's new shirt, as you can see it, it has got no heart, no stomach, armless, and no backbone willing to sell, the Angry Gooner wrote. And that's from... the metro.co.uk, and it goes on to say basically why he wants to sell it. The reason why he wants to sell it is very simple, because the team has no heart, no stomach, and I don't know.
No heart,
basically. And that jersey looks like straight out of a hillbilly, like ripped it apart at the stomach. The badge is completely ripped off, and good luck selling that. It got 2 comments and a like.
Ooh.
So far.
And this somehow got its own news story.
It's got, yeah, and a news story.
Well, this is what happens when Arsenal fans just go to shit.
Yep. Arsenal fans are going to be Arsenal fans, and it's not like they're not too far down on the table. Like, they're still in striking distance.
It's true. Kyle, you got anything?
I do, and it's not soccer related, though.
Well, we'll get to that. What's your beef?
Oh.
No politics.
We'll get to that.
It's not politics. Yeah, I don't have a crazy story.
All right, so we'll go to our What's Your Beef segment.
Oh, my.
We'll start with you since you just mentioned it.
My beef?
What's your beef?
My beef is with the number 7.
Just the number 7.
So now, twice, 3 times actually, in the last week, I have received a call from a phone number with all 7s. The first time, it was 77777. I didn't answer. There was no message left. It was dumb. I didn't know what it was. The second time, it was 777777. So I answered, and they told me they were from the U.S. Treasury Department. They were Indian. So I hung up. Tonight, while we were recording this, I get a phone call from +7777777777. The caller ID said Russia.
In Soviet Russia, car drive you.
Phone called you.
I answered the phone.
Why?
Curious,
we don't know.
Because I wanted to know what it was, and I put it on speaker. We all heard the man with the Indian voice telling me he was with the U.S. Treasury Department. I called him a liar, in more words than that, and I hung up. I am very angry at the number 7, because now the number 7 will forever be attached to these stupid phone calls I keep getting. I don't know how they are doing it. I don't know who, what, or why.
This sounds like a Sesame Street thing. I don't like the number 7.
Yes.
Can you count to 7?
I will now count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. That is how numbers work now.
This is the Kyle Foley experience.
There is no more 7. There's no more, I don't know, because there's no word for it anymore.
Oh my goodness.
It's dead to me.
What's this then? I'm holding up 7 fingers.
That's an L and a 5.
Okay. So we know what Kyle Foley has a beef with. Brent, what are you?
My beef, gentlemen.
Is with actual beef?
Is kind
well,
of,
well,
kind of.
Well.
My
theoretical beef
is for the great establishment that is the Burger King.
Disgusting.
Okay, are we all aware of the Burger King restaurant?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Home of the Whopper. Have it your way.
Yeah, they don't have that have it your way thing anymore, do they?
No. Well, I mean, you can order anyways. So, something you may not know about me is I love a good hot dog. Okay? If there's a hot dog on the menu, I love hot dogs. Love them. No matter what.
What do you like to do with them?
I love to eat them. I cherish them. They are so good. So interesting, at Orlando City Games.
Phrasing?
Yes. Thank you, Archer. At Orlando City Games, they always have a hot dog of the day. And it's usually based off the away team, and it's usually pretty good. So Burger King, if you have not heard in the news, has come out with two types of hot dogs. It is a classic grilled dog and a chili cheese grilled dog. Okay. Being the guy that I am and loving hot dogs, I tried these hot dogs, and they were quite possibly worse than a 7-Eleven hot dog. By the way,
why did you get a 7-Eleven hot dog?
7-Eleven hot dogs are not that bad. I should say that. If you need something quick to eat on the road, 7-Eleven hot dog is a great option. However, these were cut in half, okay? And then they're grilled, which I didn't know that Burger King had a grill. I thought they had a broiler. They're flame-broiled hamburgers. And the chili was, let me tell you, something gross. If my beef is with Burger King. If you're going to make a hot dog, which isn't difficult, it's not difficult to make a hot dog, make a good hot dog.
Your beef is at a fast food restaurant makes low quality food.
That is correct. There are good fast food restaurants that make quality food.
Yes, Burger King is not one of them.
Burger King is not one of them. But
McDonald's is not one of them. Steak and Shake, technically, if you get a drive through, could be considered fast food. They have decent hot dogs.
I would rather get a hot dog at Checkers.
Okay. Checkers I would never get one at Burger King.
Checkers has a good hot dog. 7-Eleven actually has a good hot dog.
No. Gas station hot dogs are disgusting. Why would you ever do that?
7-Eleven is a good hot dog. Do you go to Wawa and eat sandwiches there?
Wawa is fantastic,
Wawa
though.
Is different.
Why is that different? It's a gas station.
Because they have a deli. It's like Subway.
It's a dedicated food station.
It's a not dedicated just soda restaurant.
7-Eleven.
No. There's
difference.
For example, a gas station that has a McDonald's in it or a Subway in it.
Yeah.
You can eat there and you're not eating gas station food. You are eating McDonald's or Subway.
Is the food Wawa, inside a gas station? Is
shut
the
up. Yes.
Wawa
it's different, though.
Has their own restaurant.
I wouldn't consider it a restaurant.
Right. But essentially, you order your food off the menu.
It's like a Subway.
Right. They have their own Subway within their gas station.
And a coffee shop.
Right.
They have fresh brewed coffee in there. It's like a 7-Eleven mixed with a Subway and a Starbucks. All in one.
So, my problem with Burger King is they have social media blitz this hot dog.
And you were dumb enough to eat it.
I love hot dogs. I can't stress this enough. I think I said it seven times.
Do you dream about hot dogs?
If a hot dog's on a menu, I will try it. I can't turn down a good hot dog. Seriously. They're
hey,
that good.
Phrasing!
They're good. It's such a great snack. I have one of those hot dog toaster things where you put the hot dogs in and you basically push it down and cook it like a toaster. One of the best Christmas gifts I've ever gotten.
Kyle Foley has taken off his headset.
And my beef is with Burger King not making a quality hot dog.
My beef is with you for eating the damn hot dog.
That's a beef on beef.
That's a beef on your beef on beef.
My problem is if you should make a hot dog, it should be a good quality hot dog. It's not that difficult.
So then don't go to Burger King for a hot dog.
That's my beef.
Jesus. All right, my beef. I talked about this earlier. It is with Media Day. Orlando City Media Day. So let me kind of break it down how the day went. First off, we were out there at practice for about an hour and a bit. Got there at 10, left at 11:30, so an hour and a half of practice. Not really much to see, talked to some people, whatever. Then went to the hotel, different hotel from last year. Now, last year, they had a full buffet for lunch. And you got to pick whatever and however much you wanted. This year, they had boxed lunches.
Ooh, where are they from?
Unknown.
Okay, so did...
It's possible it was from Publix, because they are the sponsor.
I was did Mrs. Rollins make sandwiches for you guys? Is that what's happening?
No, it was prepackaged wraps and sandwiches and really dry meat inside.
That makes it... Yeah, I believe that. That's disappointing.
Mm.
There was a cookie, though.
Ooh.
The cookie was really good.
Was it a soft, chewy cookie? Or yes, was it
soft, chewy cookie.
Okay.
Probably it was actually really good. Mrs. Fields cookies.
Yeah.
Or it might have been a Publix. You know what? It might have been a Publix
sandwich. Like, box on. Yeah, yeah, disappointing. Okay. So anyway, the food was bad?
Yeah.
What was it last year, by the way?
The food?
Yeah.
It was the hotel. They made it fresh in their kitchen.
Where was that? Oh, okay.
It was a Marriott or a Hilton, one of the others.
Okay.
It was really nice.
Catered.
But then this year, also, the sodas that they had, fun story. Orlando City is sponsored by Coca-Cola now, but they had Pepsi products. So what they did was they had some staffers go around and put tape on all of the sodas so that you couldn't see what brand it was.
Well, that's a fail there.
Mm. Way to just throw them under the bus there for breaking their endorsement.
No, they didn't because they didn't have pictures of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyways, so the food was bad. I'm sure you got some cool stuff, right?
No. Yeah, they gave out some cool swag last year, but this year they topped it.
So last year they gave out a scarf, a hat, and a pin.
Ooh.
And a nice little thank you note. They also gave me a jersey a few days later. A personalized jersey with my name on it. This year, they gave me a Google Cardboard.
Wow. Google Cardboard.
Mm-hmm. So you can put your phone in it and watch 360-degree video.
You can also play like a Star Wars game where you can try to find BB-8.
You can't really play it, though, because there's no way to press the phone. It's more just like a viewfinder than anything else.
Mm.
So you have to take your phone out of the box in order to press anything and then put it back in to watch the video. To be fair, it's a $30 value.
Cool.
Yeah.
They're keeping the money on the field. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Obviously not. They got rid of Estrella, whatever however you say his name, the greatest player of all time.
We'll get to him in a bit.
No, we won't.
Calm down now.
Was that it for Media Day? Was that
no?
Was
it... So Media Day continued with interviews.
Okay.
There was a press conference in a big room, bigger than last time, which was nice. Asked a few questions about the team and whatever. And then we moved on to individual interviews. So last year, I was one of the only people in the radio room. So it was me and Tom Traxler, a guy from ESPN 580, and two people from the Spanish radio station who did like some, after we were done interviewing them, they did like, what's your favorite food or what's your favorite workout routine kind of thing. This year, they had rotations of five different players. Last year, it was like two. So I was interviewing five different players at the same time, and it was just really kind of awkward. It was fun, especially the first group that came along. It was Seb Hines, Richie Larea, Joe Bendick, Kyle Aaron, and Luke Bowden. So now, somehow the conversation went into Luke Bowden scored the only goal against Joe Bendick in Toronto, and... it progressed until the point where Luke Bowden wouldn't stop talking about it. And again, I can't do it justice by just talking about it, but it was fun.
I'm sure he
ripped him to shreds.
Joe heck about that every day.
No, because he completely forgot about it until I mentioned it, apparently.
I don't believe that one bit.
That's what he said.
I don't believe that a defender forgot a goal he scored.
He was playing as a winger at the time.
Okay, but still. How often does Luke Bowden score goals? It's not like Ronaldo, who's like, yeah, I don't remember all my goals.
Well, he didn't remember to remind Joe about it, is what he said.
But now he's going to,
right?
Thanks to you, every day.
Every day.
Joe wakes up to texts from Luke.
Hey, you remember that goal I scored?
With videos of the goal.
That'd be a funny way.
Throwback Thursday.
So yeah.
Here's another thing I learned at Media Day. All the guys love, absolutely love Jamie Vardy.
I saw that. I saw that you tweeted that out. Now, here's my question to that. Do you think they really do love him?
No, or that was just a bullshit thing they did.
Or was that a thing they just said, how many times can we get Jamie Vardy mentioned in an interview?
That was absolutely the thing.
That was the thing. It's like, hey, can we work the word elephant into our podcast? We don't do that, but there are some people who will do that.
Yes, to see who doesn't notice. But I mean... Like I'm just like, so guys, what's with Jamie Vardy? And they're just like, oh yeah, he's just a great player, scores a lot of goals. Just like, okay. And then like during the middle of a conversation, like I asked Joe Bendick or something, like, what's it like playing in Orlando compared to Toronto? He's like, well, you know, just like Jamie Vardy, you know, it's really tough and you got to work hard at it. And, you know, Jamie Vardy scores a lot of goals and I expect Orlando to score a lot of goals as well. That kind of thing. There was at least a half dozen mentions of Jamie Vardy during media day, just in one sitting with five different people.
That's great.
Then Breck Shea did it. The other three groups didn't really, but
Kaká didn't name drop Jamie Vardy.
No, Kaká did stop by. He had his own press conference with everybody, but he didn't make the rotations like everybody else. Neither did Kevin Molino. Dave Mateos also didn't.
I think they were too busy in the green room working on their Super Smash Brothers and FIFA game.
Yeah,
that's priorities, though.
By the way, I found out that Tommy Redding does not play FIFA.
He plays everything else, though.
He does play everything else. Apparently, Joe Bendik is nationally ranked in Call of Duty.
I can see that.
I believe that. I'm sure they've played together.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that. Hand-eye coordination.
So that's kind of my what's my beef for today. Now we move on to our last segment or so of the show. And this is going to be an annual thing that we do every week. We're going to call it the Estrella Update. All right, so now we're going to move on to our games of the week. So we got 7 games this week.
Woof.
7 of them. That's going to be...
Wait, let's recap last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
You would ask about that, wouldn't you?
I sure would. Because
Brent won the week. He got 3 right and 2 wrong, and Gavin and I got 2 right and 3 wrong.
I would like to thank Atletico Madrid for beating Real.
Yeah, no one expected that.
Woo.
So Gavin got, so we'll go through both, all the games first. Atletico, like you said, 1-0 over Real Madrid. You were the only one to pick that, Brent.
Thank you.
We all picked Arsenal, and of course, Man U won 3-2. Kyle, I'm sure you would have picked Man U.
I would have, but I'm a fan, so. Yeah.
Inter Milan and Juventus. Juventus won 2-0. I was the only one to pick Inter because I was trying to be different, and that didn't work.
No, it didn't.
Then the Capital One Cup final between Liverpool and Man City. Went to penalties, Man City won 3-1, and everyone but Gavin picked that. And then the final pick that we had was the goal difference between Liga MX and MLS in the CONCACAF Champions League first round. Brent, for some reason, said that MLS was going to get more goals, but it was 6-2 in favor of Liga MX.
USA over Mexico, every time.
I agree.
Thank you.
I would have made the prediction, but I would have been proudly wrong.
Yeah. Build the wall, man.
All right. So now we go into this week's games. If I can find it. Here it is.
Yeah.
First up is going to be, let's see, this is going to be EPL, English Premier League. Tottenham at West Ham.
Tottenham.
Yeah, Tottenham. There's no way. West Ham can win anything right
now. They're going to
hammer them. Boom.
Hammer the hammers. I'm going West Ham.
What?
He's going ham.
Why don't you guys think that West Ham is any good?
Because Tottenham is really good.
Tottenham is...
West Ham's...
What, is Tottenham
okay.
like 4 points back from
something
the...
Like, yeah,
from
something
Leicester?
Like that.
Something like that.
Mm. Did someone predict Leicester at the beginning of the year?
Me?
I don't know why.
Repeatedly? And you guys
except for that one,
me.
If except for that one week when you said they were going to lose and they won, and yeah. You're like,
okay, but
I pick.
I said they were going to win the league, and you all laughed at me. And you're all going to look like idiots when the season's over.
Maybe. I will be happily wrong if they win the league.
I will be happily right when
he's
they
just,
do.
He's just happy that Chelsea's out of the relegation zone.
They're in the middle of the table. We're moving on up. better than Everton.
Yes.
See, there you go. I'll take solace in that. Man City at Liverpool, so it's a kind of a rematch from the Capital One Cup final, but in EPL play. It's at Liverpool, by the way.
I think Liverpool will win.
Okay. Brent?
I'm going Man City again.
Yeah, I'll go with that too. Don't have faith.
Nope.
Man, shitty. All right, now the big one. Orlando City, Real Salt Lake. Who you got?
I have Orlando City.
Brent? Come on, you know it's Orlando. Don't even bother thinking about it. You've watched film of Real Salt Lake.
I know.
There's no way you can pick them.
There's not really. Orlando City.
He's been trying to find a way, though.
I was trying to find a way, and it just, I can't.
Nope.
I...
All right, let's pick one other MLS game.
I'm guessing you're going to Orlando City, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. It's like, yeah.
Columbus Crew at Portland Timbers
rematch.
For a rematch of the MLS Cup final, ooh, this time in Portland.
Ooh.
To begin the season.
Ooh.
Now, just a quick thing. The Portland Timbers just lost a preseason friendly against the Chicago Fire.
Yeah, preseason. I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
Just thought
I'd
mention it.
You would never get me to put any faith in preseason.
So that 6-1 Bahia win for Orlando City? Nothing?
No.
No, I it,
confidence.
It gave me some confidence, but it doesn't, you can't really take much of anything from that game.
True. Set pieces, though.
Set pieces. Yeah, like, you can take one factor, but I mean, you don't look at that and say Orlando's going to kill every team in MLS. No, I think Portland's going to beat Columbus.
Fair. Shout out to Jamie Chin out in Portland now.
Rest in peace.
Brent, who you got?
Columbus.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Why?
I don't know. I just think Columbus is going to score. I think Kai Kamari can score goals, and Steve Clark isn't that bad. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. You're from there, aren't you?
I'm from Michigan, but I went to school in Ohio.
Yeah, you went to a school in Ohio.
Yeah. Columbus was kind of my team before Orlando.
Boo.
Yeah, what are you
going
to do?
All right, I'm going Portland.
Yeah.
Bayer Leverkusen and Werder Bremen. In the Bundesliga.
Leverkusen. More specifically, Chicharito.
No manager on the field. They'll have their assistant manager working the game.
That, I don't care.
I'm taking Werder Bremen.
You know who plays for Werder Bremen, right?
Aaron Johansson. Disney? Isn't that where he went? Yeah, that's where he went.
No.
No.
Right? Where did he go?
I thought he stayed in the league.
No,
Aaron Johansson plays for Werder Bremen.
Yeah, don't make me feel like I'm stupid when I'm smarter than you.
You crappy
goalkeeper,
man.
Is this how it felt when you got scored on by Akron 4 times in one half?
It happens. You pick the ball out of the net, and you pass it up, you keep it going. Yeah, so I'm Werder Bremen. Yeah.
I have to say, don't question me on my knowledge.
Let's go to Portugal.
Yeah, let's go to Portugal.
God, I hate you all.
Sporting Lisbon against Benfica. This is a big matchup.
Nobody wins because we're paying attention to Portugal.
So I'm guessing you're going to draw there.
No, I'll go. Who's playing?
Benfica and Sporting Lisbon.
Benfica.
Brent?
I'm going Sporting Lisbon.
I'll go Benfica. All right, last game. And this is going back to our roots from the beginning of the year, beginning of the show, in fact,
are really
like out there prediction from an out there league. This is the Asian Champions League. Shandong Luang Taishan against Buriram United.
Shandong's going to win.
Shandong?
Whatever.
Really?
Brent, are you actually doing research into this?
I'm doing research. I'm going for a perfect. No one is yet to get all the games right.
Yeah, I did once.
You did once?
Yeah.
God dang it. I really wanted that. What are my choices again?
Shandong Luneng Taishan against Buriram United.
Yeah, like the one has United and the other one is a really long name. The long name obviously has to win.
Either Shandong or United.
I'll go United.
Look
Lock
at
it
you.
In.
Remember when we had Home United?
Yeah, did that game actually exist?
It did. We picked it the week we came back.
Oh, did we? Who won that?
Pretty sure Gailing International won.
Gailing International did
that
win.
That was my team.
I'll go Shandong. That's fair. All right, as we reach now about an hour and 10 minutes into our recording, I think it's time to say goodbye. So, for Brent Petkus and Kyle Foley.
Don't we have a sponsor? Sorry.
I'm getting to that.
Oh, my bad. You know, I just want to make sure we get our sponsor. You know, you never want to forget our sponsor.
I know.
Yeah, sorry. I interrupted. All right,
so for Brent Petkus and Kyle Foley, I'm Austin David. And for GuyBot, don't ever use lighter fluid. It's un-American. Amateurs, losers, and idiots use lighter fluid. Good night, everybody.